You are listening to the Eternity Church Podcast. For location and service times, please visit us online at myeternitydm.com.
I want to tell you, the Holy Spirit wants you to hear this message today. The Holy Spirit wants you to hear this message today. Do you believe me? They definitely do. Usually y'all over here are pretty good. I want to tell y'all over here that the Holy Spirit wants you to hear this message today. You believe me? The devil doesn't want you to hear it. You know that's true, right? He doesn't want you to hear it because he wants you to live a life of mediocrity. He wants you to live a life of averageness. But the Holy Spirit wants to speak to you today, remind you and inspire that God is good. Can I get an amen? I've been excited to preach this sermon for so long now. Probably a year it's been on my list of sermons I just want to preach. And I'm so glad that I can today, that in between the last sermon series and a couple of guest speakers, and before we start our Born to Die sermon series for Christmas. And that's a confronting statement, isn't it? Born to Die, that's our sermon series for Christmas this year, that we get to preach this sermon today. I've been reading the story of the talents and the bags of golds for a while now. I've been reading it repeatedly, and I've been so encouraged by them, but also weirdly at the same time feeling like God is using them to warn me in some way. It's not like I'm doing something specifically wrong or that I need to change something in my life, but God's reminding me who I am, what I was made for, reminding me to be what I've been called to be, amen? And that anything else of that is falling short. Did you know that? By the way, I've had a rough voice for the last few days, and yesterday I couldn't even talk until about 3 hours before the sermon. So God's been good, because the Holy Spirit wants you to hear this message, right? The devil doesn't want you to, God does, amen? Hey, does anyone in here like to please God? Pastor Jed does. He's a good man. Hey, we dressed like twinsies today. Vests, black checkered shirts. We both got awesome taste, right? Like, awesome taste. Wouldn't you all agree? Good, I do anyway. I'm a little biased. But you know, y'all want to please God, right? Come on over here. You want to please God? You know, it's possible to please God in one area while simultaneously displeasing him in another. Did you know that? It's like I have kids, right? Judah could come home from school, show me his report card, and I could see that he is failing every class, but then I could go to his room and he's cleaned it all up beautifully, and he comes up to me, gives me a big hug and says, "Daddy, I love you," and I can be at the same time pleased with him as displeased about him failing the classes. Did you know that? It's not like God is either pleased or displeased with you. He's a good father and can be displeased here and pleased here. It's okay to have a struggle, to have something that you're working through. The good news is that the sin that we commit in the displeasure that it causes him is forgiven because Jesus Christ died on the old wooden cross. Can I get an amen? That is actually the whole reason we're here. That it's all been paid for on the old wooden cross. You know that, amen? Praise God. As I read these stories, I'm encouraged by the help that's available to us, the provision of God in our lives. But I'm also filled with a sense of awe in regard to the requirements that come with the provision. Did you know that? That there's a requirement that comes with the provision that God has given us. In just a moment, the wonderful Amy Leonard is going to come up and read for us, so she can make her way up here. But before she reads to us from verse 19, I want to set up verse 14 to 18 of Matthew chapter 25 and set this story up for you first, all right? It's the story of the talents and the story of the gold. The story has a master. That's God, the creator. The story has a dude in it that's given 5 bags of gold. Who wants to be that dude? Yeah, I'm very excited about it. Seriously, 5 big bags of gold. Who wants to be that dude, right? Yeah, Everyone else is a liar. I'm just going to put it out there. You either want 5 bags of gold or you're a liar. There is no in the middle, all right? There's another dude in the story, and he gets given 2 bags of gold. Who wants to be given 2 bags of gold, all right? Like, there's a dude walking into church today. He's dishing out bags of gold. Who wants two, right? Right, come on. Then there's another dude in the story, and he gets given 1 bag of gold. I'm not going to lie. If someone gives you 10 bags of gold and then they give me 1 bag of gold, I'm still really happy. I just got a big bag of gold that I didn't even know was coming my way. Anybody else happy to have 1 bag of gold, right? Come on, I would be thrilled. Anyway, this dude in the story, right? We don't want to be this dude. We do want his bag of gold, but we don't want to be this dude, all right? So there's a guy in a story. He's given 1 bag of gold, and then the master goes away after giving 1 dude 5, 1 dude 2, and 1 dude 1. Master goes away. It's like you and me. We're given life. We're given gifts, a bag of gold and a few talents and giftings along the way. And then after a while, the master comes back. Now, here's the master returning is one of two things. It's either we've gone to God and asked for more, or the proverbial lights have been turned off. And we're dead. The end. And the master has returned. Let's pick up the story from here, verse 19. Amy, if you could read for us, that would be wonderful.
After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with 2 bags of gold also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 bags of gold, and see, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things, and I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Then the man who had received 1 bag of gold came. Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvested where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed? Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. So take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags. For whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
Thank you for that encouragement, Amy. It's like, is that the same Bible? Of the God who's like dishing out loaves and fishes? Well, I don't know why everyone says fishes when they're talking about this, but it's fish anyway. The same Jesus that's dishing out fish and bread and healing people, he's here saying, yo, let's take that dude's money and give it to Bill Gates. What is going on here? Literally, we're hearing a story where they're saying, there's a dude over here with $300, and Jesus is saying, take his $300 and give it to Bill Gates. Everyone's like, what? Bill Gates is a multi-billionaire. He doesn't need my $300. Hey, I want to put it to you that you would do the same thing in this story. You would do the same thing. Imagine that you give two people $20,000, all right? You've given two people 20 grand, all right? One of them, he just sort of doesn't do anything with it, and nothing's happening, and after a little while, he gives you back $19,900. You move on to the next guy, and you ask him for the 20 grand. He's invested it, he's worked it, he's done good things with it, and he gives you back $100,000. Touch your neighbor and say, a hunsky. That's Australian for 100. You got a hunsky and a fisky, all right? A hunsky, all right? He gives you back a hunsky. What are you going to do? I know what you're going to do. You're going to take the $19,900 off that dude, and you're going to give it to the dude with the hunsky. Hands up if that's you, right? That's what's happening in this story. This story is not some homeless guy sitting on the side of the road begging for money, and then Jesus comes along and takes his pen. That's not this story. This story is the guy who's invested and turned it into 100 versus the guy who buried it in the ground and did nothing with it. Heavenly Father, thank you for your provision, for your protection. Thank you for divine providence in our lives. And help us to be wise stewards of everything that you have given us and everything that you will trust us with. I pray that as I speak your word and your truth today, that you would quicken these truths to the hearts of every woman, every man, and every child in the room, that they may experience the power of God displayed in their lives. In Jesus' name, amen. My mom came to stay with us a year ago now, and she reminded me of some things about my childhood that I had forgotten. She reminded me that I was a destroyer of worlds. My name, me and my sister, our names were Seek and Destroy, all right? That's what our cousins called us. And anyway, I would pull things apart, and I mean pull everything apart. I pulled apart lawn mowers, watches, mum's jewelry, CD players, or actually probably 8-tracks back then, bikes, everything with screws, bolts, clips, or wires. I loved pulling things apart, figuring out why does it do what it does, figuring out how to put things back together. And funny thing is, to be honest, the putting things back together, that skill came later on, you know, like after I destroyed all of mum's appliances. One day she comes home, microwaves have been invented. Fascinating, wonderful. Mum comes home, hers is in 1,000 pieces on the kitchen bench. Mum, it looks real cool in here, but I don't know how to put it back together, so peace out, I'm going to play football. I loved figuring out how to fix things, and I did figure it out eventually. And I know what y'all are thinking. Y'all are like, Jesse, you deserve Charlie. And you would be correct. I do deserve him. But it also means that Charlie has a very bright future if he's like his dad, if I can just say so myself. You know, Lauren's thrilled. She's like, I'm so lucky I get two of them. Y'all know she's pumped about that. But one Christmas, we all got new bikes for Christmas, right? Every kid got a new bike. It's like $1 trillion worth, right? Because there's 1 billion kids in my family, right? Everybody gets a new bike. I was super excited. I love my new bike. I was so in love with it that within an hour of unwrapping it, I had pulled the thing apart. And I mean, if there was a screw on it, it was off it, right? I pulled that thing apart. I'm about 13 at the time. And then by then, I'd figured out how to put things back together again. So that was good. And so I put my bike back together. I go for a ride to Cookie's house. He's one of my mates. And I loved it. I was super excited about my bike. I rode it everywhere. I must have put about 150 kilometers on that thing every single week. I loved riding my bike. That was kilometers because miles weren't invented yet. Not in my life anyway. I got this job delivering newspapers with it. I'm 13. I'm delivering newspapers. Had this rack mounted to the front of it. It was made of like this thick steel, like rebar mesh on the front of your bike. And it was heavy. And we'd load it up with newspapers, right? About this tall. It'd be so tall. You'd have to put hockey straps front to back, right to left. Because if you turned a corner and it didn't have a strap over it, you know, the Shep News is flying out the side. And you had to keep the newspapers in order because Mrs. Merle May down the road, she ordered the Shep News, the Weekly Times, and the Farmers Monthly. But then this other person only ordered the Shep News. So they had to stay in order of everywhere I'm going. Thing is, when you're like 13 and, you know, you're the skinniest dude that the earth has ever seen, right, like, it's really hard to stay. You stop too fast, you go like A over T like that. Come on, like you are down for the count. The thing was so heavy, if you got off the bike, if you got off the thing, back tire's going to kick you in the face. Like it just boom, straight over. I'm 13, I'm riding it, I'm loving it, I'm making money off it. It was good fun. I rode it in the rain, I rode it in the mud, I rode it in the sun, I rode it to the bus stop. There's a poem written about me. It's called "An Aussie Boy and His Bike." There's about to be a poem written about me called "An Aussie Boy and His Bike." Chained it up at the bus stop. I go to school. We lived in a safe place, you know, a little country town where a chain, you know, kept the honest thieves away, so that was good. I maintained my bike. I oiled the chain every week or two. I changed the tires when they needed changing. I changed the tube out when it needed a new tube. And I looked after the thing. I replaced the brakes as need be. One day, I even got this great idea. I'm going to start selling bikes. So I got my bike, and I started, I got the rack on the front now, that big, heavy rack, and I ride to the tip, the rubbish tip. You call it the dump, which is a terrible name, by the way. It sounds more like a sewage farm than anything else. But anyway, so I'm riding to the rubbish tip with my bike, and I decided I'm going to start searching through the tip for bike parts. So I'd find bike frames, I'd find bike wheels, bike tires. I'd go out there once every week or two, ask the guy, the tip guy, "Hey, yo, what you got for me?" And he'd give me this stuff. It's about a 12-mile ride out of town. And so I remember this one time riding back with two or three bike frames on top of the crate on the front. I got wheels just hanging off the sides, brakes, handlebars, seat posts, all this stuff just in the crate. I'm riding back home with it. Eventually, I had a section of my dad's shed, just one whole wall with like nails in the wall lined up with all these bike parts that I had collected. See, what I'd do is I'd put them back together, all this free crap that I got from the dump. I'd put it all back together and make bikes out of it, and then I'd sell it to kids down the road, making money off all the poor kids in the neighborhood. You'd have done it too if you thought of it. One of my brothers, he didn't ride his bike very much. Now, he didn't ride it much at all, and he grew out of it. I rode mine every day. I did a paper round, taught myself how to fix it. Used the money from my paper round to buy new tubes and new tires and stuff for mine, because mine wasn't getting one of these homemade tubes that I'd done where I'd glued two tubes together and put it in a bike that I got for free and sold it for $20. I wasn't having one of those. I was having a new tube and a new tire and new brakes that don't kill little kids. All right, that's what was going on my bike. Can I get an amen? I used all my money for that. It was well-maintained, but well-worn, you better believe me. A couple of years later, I asked my parents if I could get a new bike for Christmas. See, I had grown too tall for this one. And my dad said, "Yeah, you know what? I'm going to think about that. I'll talk with your mum about that, and we'll see what happens on Christmas Day." I knew my dad. That meant yes. My brother asked the exact same question straight away, realizing bikes aren't cheap. If he's getting an expensive gift for Christmas, I don't want to miss out on the expensive gift action. I want a bike too. So he says, "Dad, can I get a new bike for Christmas too? I've grown out of mine." Dad's immediate response to my brother was, "No. No, you cannot have a new bike." Now, we were both given the same thing. My brother's bike was actually in better condition than mine. It was shiny new. It was beautiful. His was in good condition. Mine was dirty as all get up, worn out tires, not like slowly worn out around it, you know, but like patches of worn out where it rides like this. Because who knows, kids don't slow down, they stop, and it wears a patch in the tire, right? And so mine had those lumps in the tire. In some spots you could see the webbing, all sorts of crazy things. I had a torn seat, rusted and chipped up front from where the rebar's just bouncing on the front of my bike. You see the difference between the two kids and the two bikes, though? Can you see what's going on here? See, I used the bike to make money, collect other bike parts to sell to unsuspecting children. These days, it was a lawsuit waiting to happen for sure. Someone else's parents would have sued my parents because their kid rode straight in front of a bus because the brakes didn't work. Is that a bad thing to say? The kid survived. It's a made-up story. We can write the ending, all right? The kid survived, all right? He's fine, all right? His parents were just mad that it happened, all right? It's just a story. It's a parable, all right? Good. Let's move on, all right? Used it to make money doing paper rounds. I saved about $500 I had in the bank, and I enjoyed my life in the process. Now, who in this story invested the gift of the Father? The one with the clean, shiny, new-looking bike, or the one with the rusted handlebars, chipped paint, and the budding bike empire on the side? I want to tell you, you all have been given a bag of gold from God. God has given each one of you a bag of gold. I heard a joke the other day. A little girl asked her mother, "How did the human race appear?" Because evidently the little girl was English. The mother answered, "God made Adam and Eve, and they had children, and they had children, and they had children, and they had children, and so on and so forth, and now here we are today, and that's how all mankind was made." Can I keep doing the English accent? It sounds exactly the same to you, doesn't it? Yeah, thought so. Thank you, Lauren. 2 days later, the little girl asked her father the exact same question. And the father answered, "Many years ago, there was a bunch of monkeys. And they had little monkeys and more little monkeys, and they had little monkeys. And eventually and slowly, the human race evolved from the monkeys. And so now here we are today. Voila." Now, the confused little girl returns to her mother and says, "Mum, how is it possible that you said the human race was created by God, but Dad said they all come from monkeys?" And the mother answered, "Well, dear, it's very simple. I told you about my side of the family, and your father told you about his." Can some of the ladies say amen? I want to tell you, if you believe that you evolved from monkeys, you might begin to think that you're just an average, ordinary, monkey-evolved kind of person and just sit back and watch your life unfold however it might unfold. Case sera, sera, whatever will be, stupidest song ever written. Come on now. God designed you. God made you. Now, I know y'all have heard people say, "God made you. Where did we come from, Mommy?" God made you. And you know what? Before God made you, there was a moment he stepped back. He designed you. He thought about you with his eternal, infinite mind. He designed you. And then he made you in excellence. He designed you with wonder, with power. He made you with his glory to display the glory of God. You're no mistake. You are the handiwork of God. You are the craftsmanship of the Creator. Amen? Amen? And then he trusted you to take care of you. You are a bag of gold. You are a bag of talent. But the hard question is, am I being a wise steward of the gold within me? See, one day we'll all stand before God and answer the question, what did you do with your life? And I know that he'd rather hear you say, "I gave it everything I had," than have you say, "I knew you're a hard judge, so I buried myself in the sand. I sat back on mama's couch, and I played Xbox from dawn to dusk and waited for it all to end." Hey, nothing wrong with Xbox. I got one. I love playing it with my kids. It's good fun, right? But come on, don't waste your life. You were not created in mediocrity, so don't live in mediocrity. Amen? You were not created to blend in. You were created to stand out, so stop blending in. Amen? Come on now. I have a friend in our church who started a business, and it grew super, super fast, like overnight. They gave it everything they've got. They worked hard. They secured a big contract with a store that had like hundreds of stores. And all of a sudden, they had the responsibility of maintaining those 100 stores. This is only a few months ago. They bought out another company to help make that happen. They hired some staff here and there to make it happen. But then all of a sudden, those people that they relied on up and quit. Suddenly, they didn't have what they needed to honor their commitment. So what they did was bust their own guts from 4 a.m. to 10 p.m. day in, day out, Monday, Tuesday, all the way to Saturday and even Sunday. They busted their guts, but it didn't work out. So there's a moment that comes that some might call failure, but I call it a red hot go at it and a serious effort at living up, not down. They learned so much in the process that I just know that now they will succeed at the next shot, and if not that, for sure the one right after it. You need to know, momentary failure is not the wicked servant. The wicked servant is the one who, for fear of momentary failure, doesn't even try. That is the wicked servant. Come on now. I want to tell you, in this story, there's another guy that's not written about. I'm going to insert him into the story because I've read the Bible from front to back, back to front, top to bottom. I've read it and I understand the heart of God. And there's another guy, and that's the guy who's given 3 bags of gold, invests it, buys up some farms, buys up some crops, and a famine comes. And all of a sudden, now he comes back, he's only got 2.9 bags of gold. And the master says, "Yo, where's my gold?" And he goes, "Here it is, I did this, it didn't work out, I'm sorry." And the master says, "Well done, good and faithful servant, come and share in your master's happiness." Tell you what, the only one who was the wicked servant that needs his stuff taken away is the one that was afraid to do anything and buried God's gift in the ground. You don't have to be that person. If you've been that person, you don't have to be it anymore. I just caught a glimpse in my eye of someone in our church who was one of those people. They started a great business. It was doing well, had stores in malls and different places, and it was doing well, and God was blessed it, and it didn't work out because a financial crisis came, and it didn't work out. So they didn't sit down on their butt for the rest of their lives. Right now, they're at it again, running more businesses, honoring God. Come on now. There's another guy in our church who was a broke-down farmer. Everything was gone. He was going to lose everything. He should just be average. Do what other broke-down farmers are doing. If you're a farmer and you've gone broke and it's not working out, just give up. This guy goes, no, I'm going to sell cars. So he became the best stinking salesman that state had ever seen. And then he goes, "You know what else I'm going to do? Now I'm going to work, so I'm going to become sales manager, and then I'm going to become store manager. One day I'm going to buy my own dealership. Why? I started out as a broke down farmer, but I'm not going to be average. I'm going to aim up in Jesus' name." Amen. Let me read you a scripture about how you were made. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future," Jeremiah 29:11. "But remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the ability to produce wealth." Think about a 13-year-old kid riding a bike with a rack on the front and bike parts hanging off the front and selling them to poor unsuspecting kids in the neighborhood. Come on, God gave that 13-year-old kid the ability to produce wealth. Come on now. I didn't just get money and say, "Thank you, God." He gave me the gift that made it happen. Amen. "I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength." Now, John 15:5, you got to listen to this. This is the most important of all of them, not usually the one read in times like this. But listen to this. "I am the vine." This is Jesus speaking. "I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit." Come on, listen to me carefully. Every single one of you was created with wonder and power and the glory of God on display in your life. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. And I know you know that, but you got to understand, you are the branches of God's vine. If you're a believer and you stay in Him, you can do all things. How many things? All the things. Not one of the things, not two of the things, not only the fun things. You can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. So don't waste your life. Don't waste your talents. Don't waste your gold. I am not pulling this whole new school philosophy on you right now that everybody's a winner. Everybody can be whatever they can be. I'm not saying that. You know, the whole, "I want to tear into the dumbest kid in my class" was not valedictorian. Hello. He just wasn't. He just, is that okay to say? You know, is it okay? I called the kid dumb. It's just true. He wasn't valedictorian. And you know what? His mom and dad could have said, "Hey, you can be valedictorian." It just wasn't true. He couldn't be, all right? But what he could be was the best version of him. That is possible. I want to tell you, your success isn't defined by the bank balance or what other people have done or haven't done. Your success is defined by, are you using what God put in your hands? Not are you using what God put in her hands or his hands. Are you using what God put in your hand? Come on, someone say, that's good, Pastor Jesse. Keep going. All right, I will. Thank you very much. You got to be the best version of you that you can be. And I'm not doing this self-help kind of crap. I'm talking about, self-help, that's good, get some help. I'm talking about, hey, God gave you something. Don't waste that something, amen? Don't give up on that something. Just, if you just be the best version of you that you can be, you have won. You might not win at everything. Who knows, I ain't going to be a quarterback. I would die. Immediately, one game, I'm dead for sure, right? But I can be a great pastor, and I'm not being full of myself, but that's the gift God gave me, and I'm going to do my best at that. I can do that, right? I can preach in a beanie because it's cold in here. There must be something in the air. Anyway, thank you. Thank you. Someone kept going. Thank you. Thank you. I said, brr, it's cold in here. Okay, I better move on before everyone leaves. Thank you, Tyler. Colossians says, do everything as though you do it for the Lord. Because in reality, we do everything for the Lord. If you're married and you have kids, don't commit the sin of averageness by just being like everybody else. Hey, I got a great church. I love this church. And by most standards in America, I think the average church is 65 people. So we have a really big church compared to average. But hey, we're not comparing to average. When, ooh, look at us. Shut up. We're going to do the best with what God gave us. And God said, preach the gospel, win the lost, make disciples, and don't stop. And don't stop. Amen. Yeah, let's just be average. But hey, I could go, hey, my job's big. It takes a lot of effort, takes a lot of time. So I can't spend as much time with my family. I got to compare myself to doctors and lawyers and other people with big jobs and see how much time do they spend with their families and make myself feel good because I'm doing better than them. Hey, what they're doing doesn't matter. What you're doing matters. I don't want to be an average family man, an average husband to my darling wife, an average dad to my five little midgets. I want to be the best dad and hubby that I can be. Amen. I'm not shooting for average. Someone say amen. That's good. Keep preaching. Good. I will. Come on now. If you're a businessman, don't be average. Shoot for the top. I'd rather aim for the top and miss by 10% than aim for the bottom and miss by 1%. If you're a salesman, I got bad news and good news for you. It's a wicked thing to just coast along. It's a wicked use of God's gift and God's gold for you to plan on scooting by until you can retire. You may not be the best, that's okay, but you're certainly gonna try to be the best that you can be, amen? We're not gonna say, thanks God for this gift, that made my job super easy. No. That's not what we're going to do. Don't bury your family in the ground waiting for the end. Don't bury your health and fitness in the ground waiting for the so-called inevitable death tax. Don't bury your vocation or occupation in the dirt waiting to see what happens in the end. Can I get the band to come back up? I want to tell you right now, stand up. As you stand up, I want to encourage you. You're a big, fat, heavy bag of gold. That's right. That sounded like an insult, didn't it? At first, you're like, that's the meanest pastor I ever met. I'm leaving this place right now. No. Come on. You're a big, fat, heavy bag of gold. Amen. We get called all sorts of things, don't we? We always get called a bag of something, don't we? You're a bag of expletive. You old bag, you douche bag, you stupid tool bag. We get called all kinds of bags. I want to tell you right now that you are a big, fat, bag of gold, amen. Come on, touch your neighbor, say, hey, you big, fat, heavy bag of gold. Men, touch your wife and say, hey, you're just a plain old beautiful bag of gold. And then whisper, I don't want to die. You're a big bag of gold, my friend. So make a decision today that you will not live in mediocrity. You will not commit the sin of aiming for average. You will not bury God's gold. You will invest it. You will come to Him with so much more golden talents that when you say, "Hey, Father, can I have a new bike? This one's getting too small for me. I've outgrown these bikes over here." That the Father says, "Heck yeah, son. What color do you want?" And then He says, "I'm proud of you. This time, here's two bikes. Turn it into 10. That's how I want to live my life, hey? Amen. That's how I want to do. And that's what God is calling you to do. Now, don't sit here and feel all, "Oh, but I didn't do that." It's okay. You dead? I'm not being mean or crude. You dead? Then you're good. You got time. All right? Now, you don't know how much time. You don't know. So start today. Start today, right? I don't know if you've got 2 months, 6 months, or 25, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80 years. So start today, right? Start now. But I want to tell you, if starting today, if it's one day or 100 years of investing starting today, if you start today and in 3 days it's time to meet your maker, but you invested these last 3 days, He's going to say, "Welcome home. Come and share your Father's happiness." So just start today, okay? Start today.
Thanks for listening to the Eternity Church podcast. For more episodes, you can find us on iTunes or at eternitydm.podbean.com.